Okay, tonight I'd like to take our time and spend it on discussing a pure Book of Mormon doctrine. It mentioned 17 times in the Book of Mormon, not mentioned once in the Bible, mentioned once in the Doctrine and Covenants, mentioned once in the Pearl of Great Price, but 17 times in the Book of Mormon. And the doctrine is the doctrine of secret combinations. I'd like to spend a little time on that tonight, especially with the current political atmosphere and what's going on in our country and throughout the world. I think that the Book of Mormon was given to us, one of its primary purposes was given to us so that we can recognize what's going on around us and have some power to confront it. It's not going away. It's something that comes from the premortal life. The war in heaven was a combined war. The enemy combined against the Father and against the Savior. And I'd like to go to start out tonight. I'd like to go to section 38 in the Doctrine and Covenants. Then I want to look into the history of these things a little bit. The whole idea is to kind of bring us up to date on what the Lord said about this. I'd like to go to section 38, verse 11. Section 38 is one of those that's little studied and little talked about. It was given in January of 1831, so we're in the early history of the church. The Lord says in verse 11, "All flesh is corrupted before me, and the powers of darkness prevail upon the earth among the children of men, in the presence of all the hosts of heaven." Then there's a dash. "And these powers of darkness and corruption," verse 12, "cause silence to reign in all, and all eternity is pained." Isn't that an interesting statement? "The angels are waiting the great command to reap down the earth, to gather the tares that they may be burned." Now, those angels, according to Wilford Woodruff, that had been praying day and night for the Lord to set them loose to separate the wheat from the tares, bind the tares in bundles and burn them, according to Wilford Woodruff, in 1896, those angels had been set loose and were now working upon the face of the earth as of 1896. But I want you to look at the last part of verse 12. "And behold, the enemy is combined." There's where we get that word, combined. And then look at verse 13. "I show unto you a mystery, a thing which is had in secret chambers, to bring to pass even your destruction in process of time, and you knew it not. Now I tell it unto you, and you are blessed, not because of your iniquity, neither your hearts of unbelief, for verily some of you are guilty before me, but I will be merciful unto you, unto your weakness. Therefore be strong from henceforth, fear not, for the kingdom is yours." I would say there's probably never been a time in the history of the world where we're going to need to be strong and courageous than we are right now, and even more so in the days that are coming. Now back up to verse 13, the Lord said, "I show unto you this mystery." Keep in mind now, we're talking about a combined enemy which seeks the destruction of the saints in these verses. Now skip over to verse 28, same section. "And again I say unto you, the enemy in the secret chambers seeketh your lives." Now the key words here are, the enemy is not in the open, the enemy is in secret chambers. So now we have these two words up there in verse 12, the enemy is combined, and they operate in secret, and that's where you get your words, that's where you get the phrase, secret combinations. When the enemy's combined, means it's groups of people operating under the direction of Satan, the devil, to overthrow all people. The purpose of devils is this: it is to captivate and enslave. Devils are interested in one thing. They're interested in power and enslaving God's children. It's my opinion that because they have not had bodies, that they're not interested so much in the physicalness of the telestial world, i.e. sexual sins and those kinds of things. Unclean spirits are, but devils are interested in captivating and enslaving people and in obtaining power over them. Go back over to verse 29. You hear of wars in far countries, and you say that there will soon be great wars in far countries, but you know not the hearts of men in your own land. Speaking of America, this is in 1831. I tell you these things because of your prayers. Wherefore, treasure up wisdom in your bosoms, lest the wickedness of men reveal these things unto you by their wickedness in a manner which shall speak in your ears with a voice louder than that which shall shake the earth. In other words, you're going to find out about these combinations. You're going to learn about them. You can learn about them before they're on you, or you can learn about them while you're under attack and there's little hope of deliverance. But you are going to learn about them. And then notice the last part of verse 30, which is really famous among the Latter-day Saints. But if you are prepared, you shall not fear. Well, the preparation is to learn about these combinations. They operate in the dark. They operate in secret places. They seek to enslave all of God's children, and they've done a pretty dang good job of it throughout the history of the world. Let's go over to Moses and the Pearl of Great Price, and let's look at where the first secret combination comes from. Moses chapter 5. This is the account of the first one in this world. And we see that it has to do with Cain. I want to go to Moses chapter 5 up to verse 16. Moses 5, 16. Adam and Eve, his wife, ceased not to call upon God, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain. Now, it's interesting that we should know that if you go back to verse 12, chapter 5, Adam and Eve blessed the name of God, and they made all things known unto their sons and their daughters. They had many, many sons and daughters before Cain. Now, you can't get that so much out of the Bible, so one of the great Bible Christian mysteries is that where did Cain come from? Who did he marry? Etc., etc. Well, there were all kinds of posterity of Adam and Eve before Cain comes on the scene. Then why is Cain mentioned? Now look what Eve says. She bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord, wherefore he may not reject his words, meaning the Lord's words. What is Eve saying here? But behold, Cain hearkened not, saying, who is the Lord that I should know him? And she conceived again and bare his brother Abel. And Abel hearkened to the voice of the Lord. Abel was a keeper of sheep. Cain was a tiller of the ground. What Eve is looking for here is a priesthood heir. They understood the patriarchal order of the priesthood at this point. Adam's whole emphasis that he tries throughout his whole life is to bring his posterity, his children, and their children, and their children unto many generations, to bring them up through the priesthood, through ordinances, through a knowledge of the gospel, into the presence of Christ, so that they can have a face-to-face encounter with Jesus Christ, and through that, become redeemed from the fall. Most of Adam and Eve's children reject that invitation. Eve, we don't have the full background here, Eve was hoping that this son, over other sons and daughters, see, we don't have the whole record, but she was hoping that this son would be the priesthood heir in the patriarchal order to all that Adam had. That is a likeness, a type of all of us becoming heirs with Christ in all that the Father has. That's the patriarchal order. That's where this whole system of joint heirs with Jesus Christ comes. In the patriarchal order, there's only one legal heir in a generation. And that legal heir, it appears that Eve hoped that that heir would be Cain. Look at verse 18. Cain loved Satan more than God, and Satan commanded him, saying, make an offering unto the Lord. And we know the whole story, that his offering was rejected and that the Lord tries to reason with him. I want to go down to verse 23. Here's the Lord speaking to Cain, who's upset because his offering was rejected and Abel's was accepted. We won't go into the reason for that. But the Lord's reasoning with Cain, and he says, if you do well, thou shalt be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and Satan desireth to have thee. This part right here. Except thou shalt hearken unto my commandments, this the Lord, I will deliver thee up, Cain, and it shall be unto thee according to his desire. In other words, Satan desired this. Satan's the architect behind this rebellion that's taking place in the family. But the last sentence in verse 23 is interesting. The Lord speaking to Cain says, and thou, Cain, shall rule over him, Satan. Now, that's an interesting little statement. Now, remember, we said several times throughout our podcasts, and this comes from the prophet Joseph Smith, that all beings who have physical bodies have power over those who don't. Possessing a physical body is a powerful edge in spiritual things. One of the reasons that Cain would rule over Satan is the fact that he has this physical body. Look at verse 24. From this time forth thou shalt be the father of his lies. You, Cain, will be the father of Satan's lies. For thou shalt be called perdition, for thou wast also before the world. Interesting little statements shows that Cain comes into this world with a predisposition towards things that would allow him to be captivated like he's about to be here. In the book, Jesus the Christ, James Talmage, in talking about perdition and what it took for a person to qualify to have a body in the celestial world versus the third part who were cast out never to have that birth, he said, those who did not come out in active warfare against the Father and the Son obtained a physical body. I assume that Cain would fall into that category, along with some other characters that we see that are born into this world that have physical bodies and yet end up being abjectly evil. Now, I want to skip down to just a little thing down here to verse 29. Cain takes his posterity and others that will follow them, and he has them enter into an agreement with him. This is the beginning of your secret combinations. You can't have a combination unless you have more than one person involved. You've got to have at least two persons that combine together for the same purpose. In this case, it is how to murder and get gain and keep it a secret, which was the great combination in the early days of the history of the world, and it is the great combination still in our day. But look at this interesting what they do here. Verse 29, Satan said unto Cain, swear unto me by thy throat, and if thou tell it, thou shalt surely die. I'm going to come back to that throat thing for just a minute. And swear thy brethren by their heads and by the living God that they tell it not. For if they tell it, in other words, this combination, this secret, these great bands of darkness, and if they tell it, they shall surely die, and this that thy father may not know it. And this day I will deliver thy brother Abel into thy hands. Now that's Satan speaking to Cain. In other words, we're entering into a covenant here of darkness, which is what a secret combination is. It's a covenant. The master of the covenant invites somebody of a lesser standing to enter in, and that person either chooses in or out, either says no or accepts the covenant. but it's two sides. This is the dark counterfeit of the covenant relationship that we have with the Father and the Son. They invite us to enter in, and we choose either to accept the conditions and enter in or to reject them. If you accept the conditions of a covenant with the Father and the Son, the byproduct of that is you are now able to tap into power and knowledge that you otherwise would not have. These are called the mysteries of godliness. And you enter into that, you have access to those mysteries when you accept a covenant from God. Well, now here is the anti-God, Satan, who is now inviting Cain to enter into a covenant. And Cain accepts that. Now, interesting, in verse 30, we miss this, but look at verse 30. And Satan sware unto Cain that Satan would do according to Cain's commands. Did you catch that? And all these things were done in secret. Let me back up again. Up in 29, Cain says, swear unto me this and this and this and this. And in verse 30, Satan swears to Cain that Satan would do according to his commands. So you've got a two-way partnership. Satan realizes that he needs to have mortal counterparts in the telestial world in order to fully captivate, enslave, and destroy God's children. He understands he needs to have mortal counterparts. And I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, that today those mortal counterparts are every bit as much alive as they ever were. As a matter of fact, one of these interesting things about Cain is that we have no record that he dies in the scriptures. It just simply says that he'd be a vagabond upon the earth. But I want to share with you a little story here. And this comes out of President Kimball's book, The Miracle of Forgiveness. And I'll post this on our site as a Dropbox item for you. President Kimball said this, on the sad character of Cain, an interesting story comes to us from Lycurgus A. Wilson's book on the life of David W. Patton. David W. Patton was the first apostolic martyr in this dispensation. He was shot to death at the Battle of Crooked River. From the book, I quote an extract from a letter by Abraham O. Smoot, who was a member of the Quorum of the Twelve, giving his recollection of David Patton's account of meeting a very remarkable person who represented himself as being Cain. Quote, here's the quote from Brother Patton's account. As I was riding along the road on my mule, I suddenly noticed a very strange person walking beside me. His head was about even with my shoulders as I sat in the saddle. Now, I'm a horseman, and I'll tell you that when you're sitting on a mule, they're taller than most horses. So if you're a six-foot person sitting on a mule, and this head is about even with your shoulders, the person you're talking to standing next to the mule is pretty good size. He wore no clothing, but was covered with hair. His skin was very dark. I asked him where he dwelt, and he replied that he had no home, that he was a wanderer in the earth and traveled to and fro. He said he was a very miserable creature, that he had earnestly sought death during his sojourn on the earth, but that he could not die, and his mission was to destroy souls. About the time he expressed himself thus, I rebuked him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by virtue of the holy priesthood, commanded him to go hence, and he immediately departed out of my sight. Well, what we have with Cain, and then later on with his descendants, are these secret combinations. And again, the purpose of the secret combination is how to murder, to get gain, make money at it, and keep it a secret. You can tell when a secret combination, brothers and sisters, then and now, you can tell when it's working at its peak, is when people think there is no such a thing. You can tell when it's operating at its greatest performance is that when you try to expose this, the majority of the people will say, there is no such thing. That's where it's working very well. I find it very interesting that the word conspiracy is also tied in with secret combinations. There's something about us as men and women in this world, and as Latter-day Saints, we're not immune from that. We get very upset to think that there is any kind of a power that we're not aware of that is operational and controlling our lives day in and day out. Our independence just struggles with that, and we want to just discard that idea that I'm being manipulated or I'm being controlled in any way, especially when I don't know about it. But that's the definition of a conspiracy and a secret combination. Let's go to section 89. Let me just show you a couple of things here that are kind of interesting in the scripture. Latter-day Saints, above all people, should understand that there is conspiracy in the world. You cannot believe in a devil. You cannot believe in a devil and reject the idea of conspiracy. You can't do it. Because by his very nature, the devil is a conspirator. And his plans are conspiratory. So section 89, it's the word of wisdom. We've read this over and over, but I want to go down to verse 4. It's the verse we don't talk much about. Section 89, verse 4. Verily, thus saith the Lord unto you, in consequence of the evils and designs which do and will exist in the hearts of conspiring men in the last days, comma, I have warned you and forewarned you by giving unto you this word of wisdom by revelation. Do you ever stop to think that the purpose of the word of wisdom was to counteract a satanic conspiracy that's operational in our day? How many of us thought about that? The Lord gives it to us because there's a conspiracy to destroy God's children by working through the things they take into their body, the elements of food and water and sustenance, etc. Doctrine and Covenants 89, verse 4. Okay, let's go to section 123, and I want to go to verse 11. Here's another one of these things that we're talking about. The Lord's warning us about these things that are taking place in secret chambers. Section 123, verse 11, the Lord says it's an imperative duty that we owe to all the rising generation. Now, this was given in 1839. And to all the pure in heart, dash, for there are many yet on the earth among all sects, parties, and denominations who are blinded by subtle craftiness of men wherein they lie in wait to deceive. That's the definition of a secret combination. And are only kept from the truth because they know not where to find it. In other words, there's a conspiracy to keep people from coming into contact with revealed restoration truth. Look at this one. Therefore, because of this, because of subtleness that people are blinded by and the craftiness, we should waste and wear out our lives in bringing to light all the hidden things of darkness wherein we know them and they are truly manifest from heaven. Now, I want you to look at footnote 13b. Go down to the bottom of your page. And when it says bringing to light the hidden things of darkness, what does it say under B? Secret combinations. These hidden things, these, verse 14, should be attended to with great earnestness. We're going to find out why. These people are being destroyed by a power that's organized and combined, and they're kept from a knowledge of it because they know not where to find the truth. Look what it says in 15. Let no man count these things as small, for there is much which lieth in futurity. This is from the future, from 1839 on up into our day, pertaining to the saints, which depends upon these things. So here we have these various scripture references where the Lord's talking to us. We need to be aware of what's going on. This is what President Benson said in his next to last talk, General Conference talk. His last talk was in April of 1989. It was a little address given to children. This was his last talk in 1988, and it's called, you can look it up, it's called I Testify. It was given in October of 1988. I just want to pull out a couple of things out of this talk. President Benson said, quote, I testify that wickedness is rapidly expanding in every segment of our society. Now, remember, this was 1988. It is more highly organized, more cleverly disguised, and more powerfully promoted than ever before. Secret combinations, plural, lusting for power, gain, and glory are flourishing, period. A secret combination. Now he's talking about multiple, and now he's talking about one. A specific secret combination that seeks to overthrow the freedom of all lands, nations, and countries is increasing its evil influence and control over, look at this, America and the entire world. Let's take just a minute and go to the Book of Mormon to Ether, chapter 8. The Book of Ether gives us probably, of any place in the Book of Mormon, the Book of Ether probably gives us the most definitive information on secret combinations anywhere in the Book of Mormon. And you know, the Book of Ether, this is Moroni who's speaking, and in Ether chapter 8, let's go to verse 18. Ether 8, verse 18. Here is great warning for us. Came to pass, they formed a secret combination. Now, this is talking about some of the Jaredites, people by the name of Achish and some of that family. They formed a secret combination, even as they of old, which means going back before the flood. The Jaredites are after the flood. It's interesting that the records of these secret combinations were on the ark. They came across the flood with Noah and his family. These same combinations that were had in the days of Cain and Lamech and every one of the great master Mahans that came up through the patriarchal order all the way through to Noah, they had a record of these things. And it says, even of they, which combination is most abominable and wicked above all in the sight of God. Verse 19, for the Lord worketh not in secret combinations, neither doth he that men should shed blood, but in all things hath forbidden it from the beginning of man. Now I, Moroni, do not write the manner of their oaths. I'm going to take you over in a minute and show you that Alma gave a commandment to one of his sons concerning these secret oaths. And he said the same thing. Notice that they don't write the manner of these oaths and combinations, for it hath been made known unto me that they are had among all people, and they are had among the Lamanites. Now, these same ancient combinations that we're reading about here in this book are alive and well in our day. Probably operating more successfully now than they have in the history of the world. And probably more involved and enrolled in these combinations now, numerically, than ever before. Moroni says 21, they've caused the destruction of this people, the Jaredites, of whom I am now speaking, and also the destruction of the people of Nephi. See, what Moroni's warning us here is that you Latter-day Gentiles, and we've given a lesson on that, members of the church who have these records, you members of the church, you need to pay attention because there have already been several large civilizations living on the very same soil that we're living on that are no more because of these combinations. This is the warning. 22, watch this. Whatsoever nation shall uphold such secret combinations. Isn't that interesting that the goal of the secret combination is to take over the government and to have its headquarters and its seat within governmental power? When it gets to a government level, then it's in a position to enslave the whole national population, which is what it desires to do. That's the purpose. Whatsoever nation shall uphold these secret combinations, and President Benson, in some of his talks, said that we in the United States need to pay attention to this, because the government of the United States is guilty of, quote, upholding these secret combinations to get power and gain, back to 22, until they shall spread over the nation. Behold, they shall be destroyed. For the Lord will not suffer that the blood of his saints, which shall be shed by them, shall always cry unto him from the ground for vengeance upon them, and yet he avenged them not. And I remember reading that when I first read that. Wait a minute, this combination isn't killing the Latter-day Saints. There's no Latter-day Saints that are being murdered and butchered because of this. But there have been, it didn't say the saints of the last days. Notice what it says, the Lord will not suffer that the blood of his saints, which shall be shed by them, shall always cry unto him from the ground. The saints have always been murdered by these combinations. And according to John in the book of Revelation, we as members of the church are going to go into a persecution time in the future when many will lose their lives by beheading, which is interesting, I'll talk to you about in a minute, because of these combinations. 23, wherefore, O ye Gentiles, now we as members of the church need to perk up on that, because we are Gentiles. And the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is a Gentile organization. And the United States of America is the great Gentile country of the latter days. O ye Gentiles, it is wisdom in God that these things should be shown unto you. The whole Book of Mormon. Remember I said that there are 17 references to the term secret combination in the Book of Mormon. None in the Bible, one in the Doctrine and Covenants, one in the Pearl of Great Price. This is one of the purposes of the Book of Mormon right now, is to warn us that thereby ye may repent of your sins and suffer not these murderous combinations. Look at this wording right here. Shall get above you. That's government. If this combination controls the government and gets above us as citizens, which are built up to get power and gain, back at the bottom of verse 23, the work, yea, even the work of destruction shall come upon you, even the sword of the justice of the eternal God shall fall upon you to your overthrow and destruction if you shall suffer these things to be. Last verse, watch, no, last two verses. Wherefore the Lord commandeth you, when you shall see these things come among you, you shall awake to a sense of your awful situation. Go down to verse 25. For it cometh to pass that whoso buildeth the combination up seeketh to overthrow the freedom of all lands, nations, countries, and it bringeth to pass the destruction of all people. We need to be aware that these things are here. Going back to another statement by President Benson, I testify that as the forces of evil increase under Lucifer's leadership, and as the forces of good increase under the leadership of Jesus Christ, there will be growing battles between the two until the final confrontation. As the issues become clearer and more obvious, and I've been politically involved all of my life. There has never been a presidential election that I have not voted in. I have studied these secret combinations for almost 40 years. I've been heavily involved in working with congressmen and senators and writing presidents to a point where I just decided that it was futile and refused to do it any longer. But I've been following this, and I notice what President Benson says here. He says, there will be growing battles between the two. As the issues become clearer and more obvious, in my lifetime, I have never seen the issues more clear and more obvious than they are right now in United States politics. All mankind, back to President Benson, will eventually be required to align themselves either for the kingdom of God or for the kingdom of the devil. As these conflicts rage, either secretly or openly, the righteous will be tested. God's wrath will soon shake the nations of the earth, and will be poured out upon the wicked out measure. Are we there yet? Not yet, but we're getting close. Let's go back to Ether and go to chapter 2. Let me show you something. Ether chapter 2, a warning to us. This is all towards us. This is the United States of America. Brothers and sisters, the United States of America is the Book of Mormon promised land. It's not Canada, it's not Mexico, it's not South America. It is the Book of Mormon promised land. It is the place where the New Jerusalem will be built. And you can expect that Satan's headquarters will also be here. You can talk what you want about the New World Order having headquarters in Brussels, Belgium, and in Europe. But I'm telling you, I think those headquarters are right here in the United States. Now let's go over to Ether chapter 2, and I want you to look at a warning. Verse 8. The Lord says that this is, let's go to verse 7. Talking about the Jaredites would not suffer that they should stop beyond the sea in the wilderness, but he would that they should come forth even unto, right here, the land of promise, which was choice above all other lands, which the Lord God had preserved for a righteous people. He had sworn in his wrath unto the brother of Jared that whoso should possess the land of promise, and that's you and I right now, from that time henceforth and forever should serve him, the true and only God, or they should be, here we go, swept off when the fullness of his wrath should come upon them. You've got two terms here. This is a warning to us. President Benson said, if you think that these things can't happen here, meaning in America, you either have not read the scriptures or you do not understand them and will rue the day you harbored such an opinion. That's pretty bold. That was said in a general conference talk. So two statements, swept off and the other one is the fullness of his wrath. I think I understand swept off because we've got a record here of two civilizations that were wiped out in genocidal war, down to the last man. Verse 9, and now we can behold the decrees of God concerning this land, that it is a land of promise, and whatsoever nation shall possess it shall serve God, and that's the United States of America, or they shall be swept off when the fullness of his wrath shall come upon them, and the fullness of his wrath cometh upon them when they are ripened in iniquity. So there's two times in two verses that we're told, if we don't worship the God of the land and keep his commandments, we will be swept off. We have no guarantee that that won't happen. Now look at verse 10. For behold, this is a land which is choice above all other lands. Wherefore he that doth possess it shall serve God or shall be swept off. That's number 3. For it is the everlasting decree of God, and it is not until the fullness of iniquity cometh among the children of the land that they are swept off. 4 times in 3 verses. Now in verse 11, here's Moroni speaking to us. This is us, and I believe this is members of the church. Because the Gentiles that are not members of the church don't have this record. They can't read these words. They're not reading these words. So it does no value to the Gentiles, but the Gentiles who are numbered among the church, it says, and now this cometh unto you, O ye Gentiles, that you may know the decrees of God, that you may repent and not continue in your iniquities until the fullness come, that you may not bring down the fullness of the wrath of God upon you as the inhabitants of the land hath hitherto done. This is a choice land, and it is the United States of America, and whatsoever nation shall possess it shall be free from bondage and from captivity from all other nations under heaven, if they will but serve the God of the land, who is Jesus Christ. Now go over to Ether chapter 15, and let me show you what it means when it says the fullness of the wrath of God when people, whole civilizations, are swept off. The Lord said that there, at this time, there were no civilizations that were larger, that were more populous than the Jaredite civilization. And in a very short period of time, it came down to 2 men, Coriantumr and Shiz. The whole millions of men, women, and children were wiped out in genocidal war because of a secret combination that was amongst them. Moroni says this secret combination caused the destruction of the Jaredites. Now go with me to Ether 15 and let's look at 19. Here is a definition of the fullness of the wrath of God. Watch. But behold, the Spirit of the Lord had ceased striving with them, and Satan had full power over the hearts of the people. For they were, here we go, given up unto the hardness of their hearts and the blindness of their minds, that they might be destroyed. Wherefore they went again to battle. All God has to do for the fullness of His wrath to be poured out is to withdraw His Spirit. This is why He comes out and He says, My Spirit shall not always strive with man. You can get to a point where He withdraws His Spirit, and at that point, the fullness of the wrath of God comes upon you. You want to see about it? Go to section 19 in the Doctrine and Covenants. Martin Harris felt this just a little bit with the loss of 116 pages. Section 19, verse 20. This is to Martin Harris. The Lord says, I command you again to repent, lest I humble you with my almighty power, and that you confess your sins, lest you suffer these punishments of which I have spoken, of which in the smallest, yea, even in the least degree, you have tasted at the time I withdrew my Spirit. And Joseph and his whole household, that when the Lord withdrew the Spirit, even a small little withdrawal at the loss of 116 pages was the darkest time that they'd ever experienced. It led to Joseph by saying, My God, I've lost my soul. That's what it means to have the fullness of the wrath of God poured out. Now, I'd like to read to you some statements by general authorities on secret combinations, and we'll put all these up for you. This was given by J. Reuben Clark. He said this. This was October 1941. We are in the midst of the greatest exhibition of propaganda the world has ever seen. Just do not believe all you read and hear. Do you think that has value today? One of the tactics of the secret combination, brothers and sisters, is disinformation. Disinformation. We have to be so practiced and become as perfect as we possibly can in taking the Holy Spirit for our guide. This is why section 45, verse 57 says, you won't make it through the second coming and the events unless you have learned how to take the Holy Spirit to be your guide. It's the only way. And he comes out and he says, these are the only ones who will stand and be there when I come. Here's another one. This is by President Clark again. This was given in 1944. Notice that these are during the war. If the conspiracy comes here, it will probably come in its full vigor, and there will be a lot of vacant places among those who guide and direct not only this government, but also this church. How's that for a statement? Let me get another one. This is by Ezra Taft Benson. Concerning the United States, the Lord revealed to His prophets that its greatest threat would be a vast worldwide secret combination which would not only threaten the United States, but also seek to overthrow the freedom of all lands and nations and people. Another one by J. Reuben Clark, given in 1949. Now we're after the war. Do not think that these usurpations, intimidations, and impositions are being done to us through inadvertence or mistake. The whole course is deliberately planned and carried out. Its purpose is to destroy the Constitution and our constitutional government, then to bring chaos out of which the new statism with its slavery is to arise, with a cruel, relentless, selfish, ambitious crew in the saddle, riding hard with whip and spur, a red-shrouded band of night riders for despotism. Of course, he's talking about red communism. I once heard the definition between communism and socialism. I like this definition. Communism is enforced with a bayonet. Socialism is enforced at a ballot box. Let me give you just a couple more. I'll put all of these up for you, but it's enough to just hear a couple of these. This is President Benson again. President Benson said this: "This is the most correct book on earth. The Book of Mormon states that the downfall of two great American civilizations came as a result of secret conspiracies whose desire was to overthrow the freedom of the people. And they have caused the destruction of this people of whom I am now speaking," says Moroni, "and also the destruction of the people of Nephi." President Benson goes on and says, "Now undoubtedly Moroni could have pointed out many factors, undoubtedly, but notice how he singled out the secret combinations. Just as the church today could point out many threats to peace, prosperity, and the spread of God's word, but it has singled out the greatest threat as the great conspiracy. There is no conspiracy theory in the Book of Mormon. It is a conspiracy fact." Well, brothers and sisters, we're living in historic times. I don't know what the Lord's strange act is. He talks in the Doctrine and Covenants, his strange act, his strange work, when he will gather together his jewels. But there are some strange things that are going on. It's been interesting to watch the presidential politics that have unfolded over the last year and a half. And here we are 48 hours from that. I chose this lesson tonight because I think that never before have we had exposed a global conspiracy and a secret combination that we have right now that's going on in our very, very current history. I'd like to just go to one more scripture here. Let's go over to Mosiah chapter 29. I think Mosiah 29 is giving us some information. You've already had, I feel that we've had a supreme judge that was assassinated. This is Mike Stroud. We had justices, we have judges that were assassinated in the Book of Mormon. I believe we've had one killed here recently, and time will tell. But I'd like to go to Mosiah chapter 29 and verse 25. This is kind of a form. It's called the system of the judges. But it's kind of a form. It points towards a future time where a constitutional republic will be brought forth in the promised land. And here you have King Mosiah says this: "Choose you by the voices of the people, judges, that you may be judged according to the laws which have been given you by our fathers, which are correct, and which were given them by the hand of the Lord. 26. Here is a truth. This is a gospel truth. It is not common that the voice of the people..." Now, in place of voice of the people, put majority. "It is not common that the voice of the people desireth anything contrary to that which is right. In any given circumstance in the telestial world where God's children have a right to govern themselves, it is not contrary that the majority choose wrong. But it is common for the lesser part of the people to desire that which is not right. Therefore, this shall you observe and make it your law, to do your business by the voice of the people." That's describing right on down a constitutional republican form of government, which we have. Now look at verse 27. Here's the warning: "If the time comes that the voice of the people, the majority, choose iniquity..." I worry about that. I think within the next short period of time, we're going to see where we stand as a people in the promised land. "Then is the time that the judgments of God will come upon you. Yea, then is the time he will visit you with great destruction, even as he hath hitherto visited this land." Any comments on that?
We're in trouble.
Yeah. I think we've been in trouble for quite a while. What we see boiling up now has been coming on for a long, long time. But I think that in our day, right now, I don't ever remember seeing evil as in your face as it is right now. It's like President Benson said in that one quote. He said, "As the issues become clearer and more obvious, all mankind will be required to align themselves either with the kingdom of God or the kingdom of the devil." I want to finish the rest of that quote: "God will provide strength for the righteous and the means of escape And eventually and finally, truth will triumph. I testify, President Benson said, that it is time for every man to set in order his own house, both temporally and spiritually. It is time for the unbeliever to learn for himself that the work is true. It is time for us as members of the church to walk in all the ways of the Lord, to use our influence to make popular that which is sound and make unpopular that which is unsound. We have the scriptures, the prophets, and the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now we need eyes that will see, ears that will hear, and hearts that will hearken to God's direction. Let me just say something interesting. These ancients, and in our day, it's my feeling, this is Mike Stroud, that Satan counterfeits as close as he can what God reveals. Because in the counterfeit mixture of truth with error, there is power. Not only does he do it to deceive, but the fact that there is truth mixed with error gives the error power. And anciently what these people would do is that they swore oaths by their heads. Now, we've seen anciently with Laban, you saw with Goliath, you saw Coriantumr take off the head of Shiz. You see all of this beheading. John the Revelator talks about beheadings taking place yet in the future for those who will not give up their witness of Christ, will not align themselves with the beast and the whore of Babylon. They die by beheading. You ever wondered what that was? Taking off a head symbolically destroys the identity of the person in eternity. Everything from the neck up controls everything from the neck down. You remove the head, and you not only have killed the person for sure, obviously, but you take away their identity, their very awareness, that part of them that is our individual I am. And taking off the head anciently was a symbol that you obliterated that person, not only in this life, but you did not have to worry about them in eternity. And so ancient oaths were made with penalties, where they swore by their throats that they would lose their head. They'd cut off head if you violated these ancient oaths. Another thing they did is that they took out the heart. And you can see that down through all time. Becomes symbolic of losing the thing that's closest to you in your heart. For a man, that's his wife. And removing the heart is symbolic of losing your wife. Disemboweling is symbolic of losing your seed, your family, your children. And so these ancient things that we looked at as ways that life could be taken, and literally talked about the loss of everything in eternity, your identity, your wife, and your family. Great symbolism involved, and you can see it in all ancient cultures. Well, just some interesting thoughts, brothers and sisters. God bless us and our great land. I can tell you that I'm on the phone weekly with various places throughout the world, and I want you to know that the whole world is watching us right now. It's almost like they've all taken in a collective deep breath and they're holding their breath to see what's going to happen with America. Because with all of our faults, America is that light upon a hill. It is the shining beacon. And it'll be interesting to see what we do with what we've got and what the consequences are for those choices. I pray that God will bless us, that we'll exercise our franchise as citizens of this great country, and that we'll do our part individually to see that everything that was laid for the foundations of this great land, scripturally, is preserved and maintained now and in the future.